I heard the pastor saying a man wanted to marry. He asked the lady to support her, that he did not believe in support. But I want to make reference to the Bible. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18 verse 22, that whosoever that findeth a wife, findeth good and a better thing, and obtaineth favor from God. Money is not there. So in my own belief and the church where I'm coming from, the priest told to us that a woman we are helpmates. That if a man can pay the bride price, do all that thing, but he cannot take care of the food and the wear, that you can be part of it.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
There is no law, there is no scripture for that. Listen, I am here to answer Bible questions. As far as marriage is concerned, the man has fulfilled all righteousness after he has paid the bride price.
Yes.
But if a man comes and asks the girl to help him with bride price to pay,
no.
That woman is supposed to know that she has not cost the man anything.
Yes, 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 yes.
That means she's marrying a man that is not yet ready for marriage. It must cost you something. And it is also a test of the love of the man for you. And if he's paid, he should not pay grudgingly. Now, any other thing after the bride price is now left between the man and the girl.
Okay.
If you decide that you want to host the whole country, it is your two of you decision. Reception and whatever it is, there is no law that it is for the man. It is now the two of you to decide how do we host those who will be coming to join us in rejoicing. Come on. Now this also amount I get to. The woman will tell you, no spend that kind of money, we will not go the suffer after marriage. Now the woman can come and say, ah, now my deal, I beg, I have 20 million in my account, go collect that. Then host the whole church. We go come, we go chop. But to say it's wrong for the man to demand for the woman to help, or make it even a sermon, the woman should help the man, forget it. There's no place for it. It's your individual decision.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. About the pastors that bear reverence, praise the Lord. So I study in the Bible. I discover in Psalm 110 verse 9, the Bible says, I said unto them redemption, his name is reverence. So that is it good to bear that reverence? I bet these pastors didn't discover this place. So is there a redemption to their church members? That is my question. Is it good to bear redemption name?
For a man to bear reverend.
Or redemption. Because redemption. The Bible said the name of the redemption is reverence. So is it good to bear the name?
First and foremost, reverence is an English word.
Yes.
That describes somebody that is revered, highly regarded. So it's an English word. Now, actually, you are not supposed to bear the title reverend. But people are supposed to call you reverend when they rever you. Do you understand? Now, if somebody comes and calls me, ah, Reverend Alu. Do you understand? Now, it means differently as a Christian. It means different from, what's your name? I am Reverend Moses. Do you catch it? If somebody, they rever you, maybe for protocol, they know there is a pastor, a religious leader around, and they want to introduce you. We have in our midst here Reverend Zoe. Do you understand? Then, if Zoe comes now and says, God bless you, I am Reverend Zoe, it's wrong. But if they refer to him, people of the world refer to him as Reverend Zoe, they are ascribing reverence to him because of the position he holds. But if Zoe comes and says he is Reverend Zoe, it's pride. And it's against the Christian faith. In a Christian faith, you are either an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a pastor, a teacher, a deacon, or brother or sister. Amen. That is what the Bible gives us. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 gives us the fivefold offices. And 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives us the office of the deacon. And then Matthew 23, Jesus himself said, we are all brethren. Therefore, I can call you brother. I call you sister. You can call me brother Moses. And if I take offense, I am proud. A demon of pride is upon me. Because I'm your brother. God bless you.
My question goes according to the book of Matthew 28, verse 19. That says, go ye therefore and preach, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of God the Father.
Eh? In the name of? Don't add, don't subtract.
Okay.
What did he say? In the name of? No, he didn't say in the name of God the Father. You are adding that. He said in the name of the Father.
And of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
So my question is, the place did not state the particular person to go he therefore and preach. So is it right for a woman to preach either in the church or in the morning cry? Is it right for a woman to preach?
Every Christian is supposed to go and preach. We have a light and we're supposed to shine the light everywhere. Man or woman, in your place of work, your office, wherever, every opportunity you have to shine the light. In evangelism, go out and evangelize. But when we come together as a church like this, believers gather, a woman cannot occupy the leadership position according to the Bible. We cannot ordain a woman into the office of an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist like that. You can't ordain them like that. But a woman can go anywhere and witness.
Okay, I was told that a woman, if you are a Christian or you are a born again Christian, that everybody have the right to preach the gospel, whether in the church.
No.
And he has the right to be a pastor.
Which scripture did they give you?
There was no scripture.
So they are lying. The 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let her read it. Verse 11, 12.
Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection.
Learn where? For Ijesha Grammar School. Where are you to learn?
In the church.
Thank you. Learn where? In?
In the church.
In silence.
Yes.
With all subjection. Verse 12.
But suffer not a woman.
Read it very well. Okay, I read it for you. Maybe you can't see too far. But I suffer, that is, I permit not a woman to teach in the University of, where? University of Lagos?
No, church. Church. Eh?
Okay.
Yes.
Nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And some other scriptures, that is why among the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ, there was no woman among. That's why among the priesthood in the lineage of Levi, only the men were ordained as priests to walk in the temple. So also in the church of Jesus Christ, where men are seated, a woman cannot stand and be giving them instruction. That's the teaching in righteousness. And verse 13 and verse 14 gives the reason why the woman cannot occupy the position of a pastor. It's wrong for a woman to be a pastor. It's wrong for a woman to sit at the altar there where there are men sitting down. It is unscriptural. And don't, because I am ordinary pastor, archbishops, general overseers, big churches, they ordain their wives as mommy Jew. Therefore, it makes them right. I judge them by the scripture and I find them to be wrong. God bless you.
So my second question is it baptism of the Holy Ghost, like speaking in tongues, the only evidence that somebody is baptized or is a believer?
Which church do you attend?
I attended First Square. So me and somebody, I was preaching to the person, so about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He said, when you are a Christian, every believer that is baptized has the right of the Holy, of speaking in tongues. So I was telling the person that there are many gifts. There are different types of gifts that God gives you when you receive, when you are baptized. So we were like, is this weak? We were like arguing. I said no. And I opened the scripture.
You are correct. He is wrong. You are correct. Fire on. You know Bible well, well. Have you been baptized?
Yes, sir.
Where?
I baptized there, but I baptized in my church.
Eh?
I baptized before in my church, and I baptized.
Baptized in First Square before.
Yes, sir.
Then you came here again and baptized.
Yes, sir.
Why did you baptize here again? It's a heavy hand for mouth. It's a heavy hand to say she found out that First Square was baptizing wrongly. So for her life, she came and rebaptized. Praise God. Would you clap your hands for a ministry like this? God bless you. I went to First Square 1990. I followed a pastor there who was one of the ministers. I got converted through them. So naturally, I will follow them there. At one place at Yaba. And after the service, you're coming for the first time, stand up, we stood up. They brought us out, they say, how many of you want the Holy Ghost? Baptism of the Holy Ghost? Who know one better thing? So they took us to a basement. There's a basement there. And we got there, and the minister was telling us, you are ready for baptism of the Holy Ghost? Now, you will open your mouth. When I say 1, 2, 3, go. Anything, just begin to speak in tongue. Just begin to speak in tongue. And I stood there. 1990. And I was just converted. A year or 2 years now. And he said, 1, 2, 3, go. You are the one holding yourself. Just anything, just say it. And I was watching the people. The people were, I said, something's wrong with me. I should just say, so the pastor came to me and said, why are you holding yourself? Open your mouth, say. I said, excuse me, sir. I want the Holy Ghost of Acts chapter 2. I don't want this one you are doing. He says the same one. I said, no. The one in Acts chapter 2, they spake as the Spirit gave them utterance. It's a supernatural manifestation. Praise God. He just pushed me aside and concentrated on those other ones who were deceiving themselves. Our eyes of understanding, He has opened up at last. And sweet victory is ours. We are chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our God, who's the original. That is the falling away from their faith that necessitated the restoration ministry. That's what has produced this ministry. Restoration.